This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, September 22nd, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a conversation about men and boys. Actually, I'm just going to promote that it's going to be International Men's Day. And we have a group that I should be interviewing, but they seemed not to be here, who is going to be having a march and a rally and promoting men and boys' issues and an agenda. As this year is under the theme, Men Leading by Example, Enough is Enough. The march is going to be on September 24th, and it starts at 2 p.m. on Christie Park. And hopefully my guests do show up, and I would like to ask them some questions and some details on that. But in the meantime, for those men and boys who would like to participate in that, that's going to be starting at Christie Park on September 24th. It starts at 2 p.m., and that's a men's and boys' march and rally under the theme Meeting under the theme, Men Leading by Example. But in the meantime, I have a guest host with me today, who is Ian Munnings, who is one of my regular guest hosts. He's downstairs coming up shortly, and we're going to be talking about Least We Forget, Things Left Unanswered, right? And we have formulated a list of things that was promised to be explained to us, things that was a little concerning under the last administration that this administration said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. When we get in power, right, we could explain all of that within a few days. And that did not necessarily happen, right? So we're going to discuss that. I want everyone to participate in that. So if you have or remember one or two things that the government or the PLP party promised that they will deal with, they would explain away, they would expose when they get into power, call in. I'd be happy to entertain you and go into that. But I have one or two things I want to discuss and to give concern and highlight. So I want to do that. But before then, we're going to go on a quick commercial break to make sure my guest is able to come inside. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, and I'll be right back.
Today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. The number for today is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, the text line is 422-4796. And you can join me and have the conversation about least we forget, things left unanswered that we're still waiting on answers, right? We're still pondering. And let me introduce my guest. Ian Munnings will be my co-host for today. And he has a list of things that he wants to, quote unquote, expose, things that he is uneasy about that he wants answers for. So I'm going to have him join me and let's hash out one or two of these things. And of course, I welcome and invite you to call in and say, well, this is one of the issues I'm waiting on some kind of explanation on, and I'd be happy to entertain you with that. But Ian, welcome again.
Thank you, CA. There's a list of number of things that we would consider or talk about. There are some things that once we speak about them today, they seem to disappear tomorrow out of our minds based on the things of the occurrence of things that is happening. One of the things we were discussing about prior off air, we started to talk about the Oban files from the former administration. We were looking at the...
And I want you to pause there, because you mentioned Oban files. The Oban files are missing. It went missing out of the office of the prime minister, right? And normally these files are done in triplicate, you know? And it's missing out of the entire Bahamas at this present time. And I assume that when the PLP came into power, they would have found the files, because it can't go missing. And I know that the police... the last police commissioner said that it's under investigation. And from then to now, all we hear is silence.
Well, the thing about that is this. The files just can't go missing. Like you said, they're duplicated. Mm-hmm. So coming out of the prime minister's office to say that we can't find that, we're insulting the public's intelligence. I think that it may be presumed that we have a lot of scrumbus around us.
Scrumbus Gigas?
Yes, sir. After me. Because there's no other way to clearly identify with the things that they say and the things that we do within actions. Mm-hmm. The Oban deal was something that was signed. We heard the prime minister at that time, which was Dr. Hubert Minnis. He then came back after the international persons and persons locally were leaking the fact that Mr. Kreger would have been an international hoaxer. And he said that the real signing of the deals did not occur during the time when it was supposed to be live and the signing of the agreement. He said that the real signing happened 2 weeks prior from the actual person.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
That's funny. That's real funny. And the fact for us to look for these particular files in the prime minister's office and can't find them, that's another subject.
And one would assume that the person we were signing the contract with, the heads of agreement with, they too would have their own files. So if you don't have your files, I can forward and photocopy my files and say, yeah, now we have the files.
They can email it to you. Simply, they can email that to you. It's similar to the files now we'd be looking into with the dooms.
Yeah, but we can't move from one thing to go to the next thing. I need a hash out what happened to the Oban files. I want to know if the Progressive Liberal Party has a duty of care.
We have David Blaine in our country. David Blaine is working secretly with the government. Have to be.
Blaine, the musician?
Yes, sir. This is the only way we can find that these files are just going to disappear right before your very eyes. So something is happening with that.
But my point still is, does the Progressive Liberal Party has a duty of care to find what happened to the file?
I think so.
And should the Minister of National Security, who is in charge of the police force, should he ask of the Commissioner of Police how and where is the current investigation going regarding the missing files?
I think the public has to demand that. I think they have to demand
it. I must demand it?
We have to. I mean...
One would assume... See, this is not the old day, no. This is a new day. This is a day of accountability where we have good governance.
But we said accountability.
Yeah.
We said accountability.
But see, you're trying to blame me, though.
We said that we were going to have the Freedom for Information Act, too.
Yeah,
but we're still waiting.
You can't be blaming me for the file not going missing and that I must ask.
But
I'm saying that we have people in charge, the Minister of National Security. We have a prime minister. You know, we have a minister in charge of economic affairs in the prime minister's office. Some of them, one of them should be able to say, hey, yes, we're still investigating that.
The question is, do they find that to be important? That is the question you have to ask.
It's a matter of security.
But it's a matter of importance. We find that what you call security is a matter of opinion.
Yeah, well, I see I have a caller here. Let me ask the caller if he knows where the Oban file. Producer, patch the caller through. But the caller hang up? I took that long to answer. But see, it vexes me. It vexes me because it makes no sense, right? The caller's calling back now. It makes no sense, and we're just allowing these things. Like I say, least we forget, and these things are left unanswered. But patch the caller through, producer. How you doing, caller? Good morning. How are you doing?
Thanks for taking my call.
Good you time. Know where the Oban file is?
It by Tingham. Yeah. You know, because I have to say it like that. I do apologize. But at the end of the day, right, we had the NGO files missing from the feeding program, which if the lady didn't speak out herself, and bring in the reporters to show them where she had sent these files on, we would have still been waiting for the files.
You know, I go in there soon, so I appreciate you bringing it up, but I go in there soon.
When the files appeared, they say, oh, that wasn't the one we meant. We meant the other one. Now, there was another set that was missing, they're saying, for the doom. I guess we need those persons to step forward before they say, Oh, no, not this one, another set.
We're heading there, too.
Now the Oban files, and you are the government that is trying to hold the other party accountable. Please hold them accountable. I am FNF, and I will tell you, hold them accountable. But if you're not, you start to make me feel like you up to something. You know, I'm starting to wonder if they are actually New Day, or they are
the same day.
Same old, just. You know, a different time. Whitney Houston sing it, different script, same players.
I appreciate you. I appreciate it, and I'll go and hash out one of the two things you mentioned. I see you have another caller there. Producer Patch, the other caller through. How are you doing, Nicola?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay. Let me say that there's nothing missing, honestly.
What you mean, nothing missing?
They can find it. No.
Well, they said they can't find it.
No. I could say many things, but they could find it. Like you say, it's there. But, you know, be playing a game. As long as you could blame the next fella while you're in, you are right. But something else I want you to pay attention to or listen to the news, your news. Because there's a guy, I guess just to shade off a little bit now, not too much. There's a guy who didn't charge his ankle bracelet. He is now on, I think he's attempting murder or something, and then he was on bail. And then he didn't charge his bracelet, then he went back to bail, back to the court. The court now is saying that they have to give him bail again. But the police prosecutor did not even object to bail. And in fact, the police said that the fellow don't even have a clean file. You probably could take your news, listen to it for a minute, and see if that make any sense to you. Because there's something wrong with that. I don't understand it.
I am concerned. I feel your frustration.
Because if he have a clean file, he should not be on bail, and he should not be with ankle bracelets on him, because I have a clean file. I don't have none of them on me. But just listen to it a minute and probably see if you could wrap your head around, because these police prosecutor in the court, they are not professional lawyers. Because he should have stand up and say, this guy was on bail for attempted murder, and now he's on bail for not doing his ankle braces, charging his ankle braces, and be sure to at least try to keep him off the street a little bit. But this guy, the police prosecutor said, you have a clean record. Anyway, my brother, you have a good one.
I appreciate your call. And Ian, you mentioned dooms. Remind you, just recently, the chairman of the Reconstruction committee, right, said that they can't find any file about the domes. They don't know. They don't know how it was purchased, where it was purchased. It's just the whole file just gone missing. And I'm saying, we have the domes.
Well, the DRA.
They were shipped to the Bahamas.
Yes.
It was shipped to the Bahamas. And it has a ship manifest. And it has a receipt. Right? So one would assume you can't come to the Bahamian people and say they can't find no records on how much we paid for the dome. So it's got to be something wrong with that narrative.
We can find it. The DRA, most persons of who may not be informed of what the DRA is, you know, they are the disaster recovery authorities. The DRA would be responsible or have those particular files in copy in the Prime Minister's office because that's the mandate from
them. There goes that Prime Minister office again.
Yeah, but that's a mandate from them. I think the last time we were checking on it, we reached out to the Brickell management that refused themselves from speaking to us in terms of what happened or what transpired. But we had information to say that the domes were imported from Alaska.
No, you mean China?
China? No, Alaska.
Where you get this Alaska?
Alaska. From? The domes. That's where they came from.
You sure it's not China?
Mm-mm. They said Alaska.
Oh, okay.
They said that the domes cost somewhere between $900+ per dome.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said that Brickell management was required to import them or bring them in. And then they had a separate agreement in terms of putting them up, but they were not the ones that put it up.
So who put it up?
Well, they brought in a specialist from Alaska.
Who brought in a specialist from Alaska?
No, it could be the person's responsible.
Okay.
They would have brought in a person from Alaska who, in their words, would have the knowledge on how to erect those particular domes. So the purpose of bringing him in was he was supposed to train Bahamians to know how to erect them and how to dismantle them.
But clearly they were erected.
They were erected, but they said that Brickell walked away because I think they were saying to erect them was like $1,000. Brickell walked away. He said that was insufficient funds to erect it. And so they removed themselves out of the equation. We had 200+ domes that were imported at some $900+. So we would equate that. That would have been totaled at some $1.8 million at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the erecting cost would have been something different. It would have cost us, the Bahamian taxpayers, some $10,000 per dome to be erected.
What, each dome was going to be costing $10,000?
$10,000.
Man, you sure about this? I think this is rumor and thing.
You think it's rumor? Well, the DRA has the files.
But they haven't, the missing files that they don't have, that they have it now.
DRA, copies of those files are...
The chairman said he didn't have the files. I remember seeing it on news.
The copies have to be recorded. There's no way that level of money can
I got to stop you here as a co-host, right? Because you're getting me in problems, and I don't like it because the chairman said he can't find the file. So I'm not sure where you're getting this information from.
You worked in a facility before, CA.
See, I understand what you're trying to say.
Do you think that level of funds can be spent and we don't have the files to that?
It ain't matter the files. It went missing, just like the old band files, and the chairman said he
can't
find it.
It just can't go missing. It just can't. It doesn't happen that way.
Once it goes inside the office of the Prime Minister...
I would assume that copies would have been made.
The
necessary bodies would have had to have a copy of that particular to know exactly what it was we spent, what we're spending it on, so forth. That is how the procedure is. That's how it works.
Mm. I am easy with that. And see, my point is, it's one of the things that I find Bahamians just ignore. Like, we don't care. Like,
well, we conversate today, and then tomorrow the conversation has changed based on what happens.
But how can you, all that money just up and go, and we as Bahamians just don't even ask where the money gone, where
these,
the receipt?
These are real questions.
Know, how can be a pronouncement from the authority and say, hey, we don't have the file and just let it there? There's no police investigation?
There were some 40 domes that were erected in Freeport. There were some domes that were erected in the Abaco area. And then we would have had in Abaco also in some containers, some of the domes that were not erected. So these are things that we have to consider. When we made the conscious decision, when I said we, I'm talking with the governing bodies or the persons who were in charge to make the decision. When they made it possible for these people to be living in those domes, we had a start and a finish time period, which we were thinking about having those persons in those domes. Yes, we agree. We came back to say that in light of what those people experienced, it would not be thoughtful or tasteful for us to send them back through a second trauma again, breaking down those particular domes when those domes could have been easily broken down, cleaned off, and stored.
Mm-hmm.
Those should have been stored. Those should have been sent to Nassau, to New Providence. They should have went to NEMA's warehouse. We should have been having those on standby because we are in a hurricane belt.
See, hold on.
These are things that we have to consider.
Let me pause you then. I see the caller. Caller, I see you on hold. You say they should have been sent to NEMA's warehouse, which is in Nassau, Gladstone Road, right?
Yes, sir.
For a year now, 12 months has gone by. We have had pieces of domes that have never been erected, which are some in box, some are exposed to the elements. They're out and on layaway on the ground right now, where anyone can come up to them and just move whatever they want. For 12 months, we have had pieces of the domes, unerected domes, laying out there, and it hasn't been sent to Nassau as yet.
A disregard for the public spending.
And the chairman talking all the time, he making noise, and still, to this day.
There has been a disregard for the Bahamian people's money. And this is where we come into play. See, the Bahamian people at large have to ask the questions to the people that we have elected to make the decisions for us that is in the best interest of us, the people. These are things that we have to then make noise and we have to agitate and agitate and agitate because the reality is millions of dollars are being spent without any accountability on it, without any thought of any mind of non-living things. But when it comes down to the Bahamian people within itself, it seems to be a problem. Just look at the social service and the national insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you almost 2 to 3 months to get a sick benefit. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I still have another caller there. And producer Pastor caller through. Let me see if they can add to this conversation. I wouldn't know where the Doom files is. You say it there and they find it. And the chairman says they can't be found.
The DRA has to have it.
No.
They have to have it. If the DRA does not have it, the disaster recovery authorities, if they do not have it, currently in the Prime Minister's office, me, as a Bahamian, I'm asking for the Minister of National Security to please advise the Commissioner of Police to look deeply into that scenario or that situation.
Like the Oban file.
Yeah, like the Oban file. We can't just say every day is just going to be candy. It's not. The people's money is to be taken seriously.
Ian, let me go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A pleasure. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
How are you doing today?
Can I make a comment?
Go ahead. Make your comment.
If you say you're going to the phone, then come to the phone, listen to my comment, and then let me hang up, and then you'll continue your conversation. But don't say you're going to the phone, and then you got me here listening to your row.
Yes.
So, okay, let me say. I think the main problem we have in the Bahamas is that most of us, most Bahamians, still believe in the fear of victimization. I believe that Bahamians, old people like myself, 71 years old, we've been brainwashed in this thing that if you speak out against the authority, they're going to hurt you or your family in some which way down the line. We don't seem to stand up for the rights of the future of our children and grandchildren and for the rights of our country, the beautiful Commonwealth of the Bahama Islands. We know exactly what happened, but we have no proof. We were lied to. The money was stolen. There was an under-the-table deal that went sour. And when we found out about the deal, they tear up, burn up, shred, or hide the files. Them files will never be found. The Commissioner of Police can't find them. The Attorney General can't find them. The PLP Prime Minister can't find them. And we know they're going down West Bay Street on top of a hill in one big multi-story house. We know them papers will never be found no more. The money's been stolen. We need to speak out and say we want our money, but we need to start sending some people to jail. Some people got to go to jail. Have a good day.
Thanks very much. Another thing I find frustrating, right? About 2 years ago, right before, 2 years ago, has it been 2 years ago? No. Yeah, about 2 years ago, right before the Hurricane Dorian hit Abaco and Grand Bahama, caused the devastation, right? There was an injunction. You know, I think the justice was Cheryl Grant Bethel. She did an injunction where it was an application applied by Fred Smith to say that you cannot interfere with the shanty town.
Yeah.
I thought it was a shanty town in Abaco, but apparently it's a shanty town throughout the Bahamas. And in fact, they said that one thing that you can't do is you can't break it down, nor can you erect any new building or establishment within any shanty town. So, you know, I was vexed, you know, because I said, that can't happen. This is they can't tell the government when they can't bring down a shanty town. A shanty town is of national importance, you know, it's a national security.
It's the comrade of the bomb.
You know, but I said, I understand the judges can make ruling. I said, it's an injunction. I expect the injunction to follow through. But I thought it was going to be like a year, right? A year gone by, 2 years gone by. I think it's now on the third year. And we don't know what is happening regarding this injunction. There's no update. We have a new administration in right now, right, who hasn't said anything about this injunction with the shanty town. Are they going to ask the judge, say, man, this is of national security, let's speed this thing up? And then once upon a time, the last administration said that Abaco is the most secured place in the Bahamas right now due to Hurricane Dorian. Right? They said they put defense force officers and police force officers because of the crime, and that they will be able to police Abaco. So there'll be definitely no more construction. Because remember, they took pictures of all of the farm to make sure this is how it's supposed to look. That no one could add on to the farm. But now we see they're building mansions. They have hotels in the farm.
They have a business within a business running in those areas.
They have big generators.
Oh, yeah, Bahamas don't have generators, but they have big generators.
They have lampposts and they're still being erected. And 12 months later, after this administration has been in power, no one has come to us to say, Bahamian people, I know we have an issue with the farm, but I come to you to tell you today that all those buildings that has been erected over the last 12 months, because we have the pictures, we bulldoze them tomorrow, right? No one has come to us to say we are policing the area now. We have defense force officers on the entrance to say, hey, you cannot bring no lumber in this place. You know, whatever you do inside there, we may kind of say that, but you can't bring no extra stuff.
Those underlying issues is of grave importance to us as Bahamian citizens. And for the future of our
country. You're only crying out, though.
I said for the future of our country. Mm-hmm. We have to be mindful and we have to look at things from a perspective that, what precedents are we setting? You said that the injunction was done for those persons that were squatting that came into this country illegally. You cannot come into a country illegally and just erect what you want to erect. We have rules and guidelines in our country that state what you can and what you cannot do. Simply, the commissioner of police is responsible to carry out his duties as commissioner of police. Minister of National Security, his main objective is the security of his country. So when we look at those persons in the shanty towns, et cetera, that are continuously billing, and the pretense when they entered this country was of illegal pretenses, we must be able to deal with these people the way that the law permits us to deal with them. I said to you before, we don't have a people's problem. We have an enforcement problem. So that's an immigration problem.
She's trying to say immigration is not doing their job.
But we have an immigration problem.
But at this present time, you know, we don't want to deport any immigrants right, at this present time, you know, because of what's happening in Haiti. I assume that's what the issue, right?
The reality is my heart goes out for those persons and what they experience in their country. But my first objective has to be to my people. You have to understand what I'm saying to you. I'm saying to you is that, yes, we understand what they're going through. So us as a country that are doing pretty much well or better off than those other nations, we have to think something creatively, how we can assist them in helping them to be able to stay at home or at bay. The reality is the Bahamas is a small utopic island of 700 islands, reefs, and keys. When you want to come into the country, we have means of how you enter into our country. But if you're coming here on a sailboat, number one, nobody knows when you come in. We don't know how many of you are coming in. Then you're working here, illegal persons are employing you. You're taking the cash flow of funds that should have been circulating in the Bahamian economy. You're sending it out. Millions of dollars are being sent out under the ground, out of our country. And we're trying to figure out what is the problem? Why is the cash flow not flowing the way it's flowing? These are national security problems. These are our problems as a people. I'm saying to you, if you coming in through the right way and you getting your work permit or your status, you're coming in, you're helping with the development of the Bahamas in itself. We have no problem with that. But the problem we have in is when you now having persons come into this country and you're operating illegally, you're using the feces to put into our table, into our waters, you're running these underground racketing and these so forth things. I'm a Bahamian voice.
Okay, let me see what the caller's saying. I see we have callers on hold here. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon. Good good show, Yuri.
Hey, thanks very much.
I just want to say, hopefully we digitize. You'll be able to find every single file that you've got imaginable on this site. And secondly, I believe Abaco is back. I think they are moving. They're in the process of moving all the domes. And I hope, God forbid, they'll never come back.
Like Pumpkin, let me ask you a question, right? Early, I mentioned that the erected domes are laying open in the yard in Abaco, right? It's unsecured. It's not being protected by anybody.
They're there now.
I've been there for a whole 3 years.
They've been there sitting there.
You could go there now and walk up against it and no security there.
I saw a news clip where they break it out of domes.
Those are the two
different things we're talking about. You talking about the ones they are unerecting. I'm talking about the ones that have never been erected, which has been sitting out in Abaco for 3 years in the elements on the ground, open and exposed.
Now you
see in the video that some of the domes are being unerected now. Besides being demolished, they're being taken apart, right? And they're being carted off to somewhere.
Somewhere we are.
Now you see my point. No one said nothing to me yet. No one came on the news to say, well, we moving it to, they even ain't putting it to the place where the new ones are. They even ain't putting it there. It is gone.
If you go to the ministry, you find a way to go.
Someone needs to call.
We need to stop that. But I love my country. And I don't want my country to be looking like Haiti.
Nobody wants that.
Unstable governments.
But thank you very much, Pumpkin. I appreciate you.
CA, we must look into those particular situations in terms of the spending of the people's money and how we just have a careless, don't care mind of the things that we purchase, looking at it further, whether it will be used rather than we have to go back and purchase these same items that we purchased before.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to look into the situation in terms of those areas, what we call crown land or farm lands, that the Haitians are building back some of these houses on. These are private land owners that are allowing these persons to build these structures on their land. So the government has to now look and review and see those particular land owners that are allowing those persons of illegal origins to dwell on those properties and build on those properties. We have to then look into those persons that who are operating on those private land, because that means you're harboring fugitives.
That's how I look at it.
It's no other way to look at it. So like I said to you, we don't have a people's problem. We have a implementation of law in the immigration department.
But Ian, I have another caller. Producer Patrick, call us through. Let me see what they have to say. Go ahead, caller. How are you doing today?
Yes, good morning to all.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah. I see the problem in this country is, right, that the poor people in this country have no voice. You know, we our governments are only concerned about the average people, but not the poor people. You see, we have a poor housing issue, right? Ministry of housing has no concern for the poor people. They only house the average people. You understand me? A poor family cannot afford a government house in this country.
Fox.
You know, it's 21% of them. The households in the Bahamas, where you think they're located? They're located in the inner city. These people cannot afford housing. And what's going on with them? You see, and when you have people that advocate for the rights of poor people or Bahamian, what do we do? We cut them off. You understand what I'm saying? We got leaders of political parties who can't get on in the media. Why? Because people don't like what they're saying? Come on, man. That's not right. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, man, Lewis. I see you have another caller there. Producer Patrick, caller through. How you doing, caller? Caller, you there? You break up.
Hello.
Go ahead. I can hear you now.
Yes, sir. Good day to you and your guests.
That's a good day, sir.
Good day to the Bahamas. Yeah. It's amazing how I woke up and all of a sudden my heart was back when I pulled up by a certain local store a few minutes ago. But it came to my mind, and it was on my mind a little bit from yesterday, and it goes along with what you guys are talking about, right? But this, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it at all and say immigrant problem, because it isn't actually an immigrant problem. It's actually a Haitian migration problem. It's not Jamaican, it's not Chinese, it's not the whites, it's Haitian. And I think these human beings, which they are, and they are maybe our brothers and sisters, they might be our neighbors and all, nobody, and in fact, you would be considered a fool if you take care of a neighbor better than you take care of your whole household. But these citizens of Haiti are coming to the Bahamas with a certain determination and an effort to procreate. These are everywhere I go, I see a bunch, illegal immigrants with little children, 5 and 6 and 3 and 4 little children. Right now, you can't, a Bahamian family can't afford to have 2 or 3 children without them ending up slipping through the cracks of society. And I'm wondering, why is every government after every government just allowing this to happen? And if the neighbors, if we are such neighbors, we might be round the corner neighbors of Haiti, but why does the neighbor of Haiti, which is it sounded, what is it?
Jamaica.
Not San Domingo.
Dominican Republic.
If they can stand by 3 generations of Haitians right next door to them, how come when it is that the Bahamians make a sound and say, well, we need some of these Haitians to go back? Then the U.S. and then all these people over here want to use that big word where I can't even pronounce Genesis, not Genesis, what they call it? Say that we just scared of foreigners or this or that.
Xenophobia.
What's it called?
Xenophobia.
Xenophobia, yeah, which I don't even care to even learn the word or the exact definition of. But I think our problem is that we are too watered down right now as we speak, and there are there is a population of Bahamian Haitian or Haitian Bahamian more than just full Bahamians in this country right now. And yes, I know they say, all Bahamians are mixed, or where did Bahamians come from in the first place? But the Lord gave everybody a place, and we deserve our place. And everybody keep talking about fighting for this country or this or that. And even our father of the nation said that if we don't fight for our country or fight for what we want, then we don't want it.
I appreciate you, Gollum.
Pardon me?
No, I appreciate your sentiments. Thanks for your contribution.
You do.
Thanks very much. And I hear the caller's plea and fair and concern, and some people say it's warranted, right? They are asking our government to do something. They're alarmed. Our government's not answering.
Not just to do something, CA. We are asking the government to enforce what is already on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Enforce what we said that
12 months later, you're trying to say this government is not enforcing what is on paper?
Is it enforced? Are we seeing it enforced?
I have another concern that went unanswered, right? And at the beginning of September, when the Progressive Liberal Party won the election, they said 1,000 school children are missing, right? And they believe in the COVID and say that they perhaps home, but they are just, they're registered on the books, but they're not in school. It's up to 1,000 of them just gone, you know? So they're alarmed, they're concerned. School has been open now for 12 months. No one has come to me to say that number has shrunk to maybe now 200, and those 200, we believe, went someplace else, right? I want to know, where are these missing thousands of Bahamian children? Where did they go? So, do someone owe me a duty of care to explain where these people is?
Well, statistically, they'll have to look at their records and see who's coming into school and who didn't show back up. And I think
that should be easy.
That should be easy. And I think that all students registered into the government or private school, you would have all of your necessary information documented on file.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of saying that Billy didn't come to school, and we need to have somebody that's going to follow up to know what happened to Billy. Did Billy and his mommy and father, did they just leave the Bahamas and go into Canada or the U.S.? They no longer reside in the Bahamas. These are questions we need to know.
Okay. I see you have another caller there, producer. Let's pass them through quickly so we can move forward. Go ahead, caller.
Doing well,
sir.
Well, it was, I see what Smiley's saying. It was the dark getting through the other day. All the off the whole day.
Go ahead, sir.
But to me, first of all, I want to, the gentleman that in studio today, I joined in late, so I never got his name.
That's Ian Munnings.
Okay, Mr. Munnings, you right on point. I really appreciate your comments and your perspective on what's going on with all of the issues that you all discussed.
Thank you, sir.
And first of all, I want to say that's foolishness on the government part and all our part, even the police part, to say we can't find any document, even if the people like Sparky say destroy or hide the documents or whatever, there's still a paper trail. All you got to do, if I sell you something and you say you ain't got no receipt, that means you could come to me and I should have a receipt too, because I ain't just give to you, right? So there is a paper trail to do with all this stuff. And you made a lot of sense, too, when we were talking about the migrant problem in the Bahamas. I have immigrants working for me, but they have to do the right way. I can't go and build a shed in the back of my yard without the people permit people coming to want to price me for that or whatever. How you could build a whole city in the jungle in the bush and expect that to happen? Economically, it's not feasible. Like he mentioned, and all those stuff. The money is going out the country. The money was supposed to spin around here. If I giving it to you, you're sending it out the country, then what I gonna have to pay you with the next time? You understand?
Yes, sir.
And that's why we have increases in costs and all that stuff. Same thing as environmentally. We have the water table. Most of us is get water from the ground. Even with the waterworks, we still have to get the water from the ground. You understand? So we still polluting, tampering with that. And from what I see, is that is not an issue for prevalent immigrants. They don't care about that. You understand? So it is what it is. We can't say we're doing this for humanity and all that stuff. That's foolishness. We have to do it right by the board. For me, for whoever else, we have to do it right by the board.
Yes, sir.
And that's where, you know what I mean?
Like, yes, sir.
If we keep compromising and this and that, we ain't going to make no sense in a little while. And we have to leave this. That's how we get it now to take care. We have to leave it for the turn. Okay. So if it ain't here, what we can do? So you all having a good show, man. I really want to encourage you, and you all keep up the good work.
Appreciate you, caller. Say blessings, Brother Nuri, and your guest, Mr. Paul Thompson, who you had on your show a couple of times, has a sound, brilliant, sensible plan for shantytowns and illegal immigration. Reach out to him. I think the Minister of Immigration needs to reach out to Paul Thompson, man. Not me. But a producer, put you to the next call. I know we have about 5 minutes left, so let me try to get most of them on. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri, and good morning to Mr. Munnings.
Good morning, sir.
I don't know if he's family to Freddie Munnings, but he's a great guy. I always like when he contributes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's so correct. You know, and he brings out a lot of things. You know, Mr. Nuri, there are miles and miles of missing files post-independence, right? And there's nothing to be done. I used to like went right through and play the iron side, because maybe some of the mitigators can go and find the files, right? But people get in politics, and they don't want to be criticized. But yeah, where's that? You know, the Bahamian politicians and the populace at large are great at down-pressing one another and lionizing Martha, as we see the Prime Minister didn't want to let go of the King Han, right? And so I'm looking at something Gardner said that I really thought was crucial. Like, who is advocating for us? Like, I see selective human rights advocation. You're not advocating for human people. You come on, I hear Luby them, they advocate. Nobody advocated for the girl in the bus. Nobody advocated for the behemoths being put out of the dooms. And this is what I'm saying. Who's advocating for us, Mr. Nuri? And all of these people, I don't have a problem with miscegenation, and I don't have a problem with Haitians. What I'm saying is, why is it that I live in the inner city, right? I didn't always live in the inner city. I see the amount of Haitians. We are being superseded. Now, the only way I could find if these people who call themselves human rights activists really like these Haitian people, I want to open up some shanty towns. I want to put a bunch of people, Haitian people, in Blair or out west in different subdivisions. I want Haitians to overwhelm them, like how they doing us in the group. And then I would see your real attitude towards these people. When you see they are really different from us culturally in so many ways. You saw the video with the person being decapitated on video with the person speaking Creole. So these people are not there. They're different. Some of them are humane. But what I'm saying is we don't know what we be playing with fire. Of course, it's a matter of national security. And we all being naive. This is what I hate about us, man. We just wallowing and wallowing and fighting down one another, not getting anywhere. Like I said, a nation of sheep would be gotten the government of wolves. See, Inui, why is it that the government allow these people to come in our country and set up parallel societies and on every island?
52?
On every island.
Thanks very much, 52. And it's been 12 months later, and we're still asking these questions. I have one more text, and I go to the line again. Good morning, all due respect. Please read my public text. I paid to send this. I agree with your guess 100%, but the Bahamas should be prosperous for Bahamians. If we are xenophobic, why are we almost outnumbered by Haitians? If we are xenophobic, why are thousands of Haitians coming here? Why are Haitians prospering? I see I have 2 minutes. Pastor, I call it through so I can let him know I have 2 minutes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, yes. Good morning again. Listen, I need you to ask the government a question.
Go ahead.
Are they truly for Bahamians on an everyday basis, or are they only for Bahamians when it's time for election? Because this illegal immigration problem, and I know we're watching the Haitian, but somehow I'm watching the Chinese, and I'm seeing them getting larger and larger. More and more of them in this country, but they hide one another, so we ain't gonna see them the way we can see the Haitians. But in any event, something needs to be done so we can have land and buildings and places left for our great grandchildren and our children to inherit.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll give the last word to you, Ian.
I would say that the Bahamas is built for Bahamians and Bahamians at large, whether it be they're living abroad in Canada, America, wherever you are. The rock that we know as paradise is considered to be our paradigm or paradise in actuality. And I say that we would try to help the persons outside as much as possible when it's needed to do so. But the first kind and love have to come from us first. Bahamian first shouldn't be a third class.
There you have. Bahamian first. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri.